Hi, welcome everyone to the latest episode of the Angle Podcast. We're diving into the future of events, entertainment, culture, and where the physical world meets virtual reality. Our guest today is Michael Balkind, founder of Soda World Studios in Johannesburg, but also numerous different things. You may know him from former JHB Live. And as a disclaimer, I've known Mick for some time, probably a good over two decades at least. Here in and out. So,
true.
You know, what we are going to talk about today, though, is recent events, the immersive event space, the cutting edge VR event space that revolutionizing how we experience live music performances and immersive experiences. Michael has been at the forefront of blending real world venues with digital environments, creating a space where audiences from around the globe can come together virtually, all the while interacting with a faithful digital replica of his Johannesburg studio. From participating in prestigious global events like the Venice Film Festival to hosting live concerts on the VR chat platform, Michael has shown how virtual reality can expand the reach of cultural experiences, breaking down geographic barriers, and making events more accessible and engaging than ever before. So just to dive right in, maybe I was going to ask you, before we get into the nitty-gritty of what you're doing, maybe if you can just describe quite recently for us what you're doing in the immersive event space and how that looks like for you.
Sure. It's cool. So obviously it's quite technical, a lot of these things, so I'm going to try to figure out a way to kind of maybe describe what the effect of it is. I'm a huge fan of live music. Jazz. I used to spend a lot of time at the Orbit. I love clubs, bass, speakers. I love live performances, here and all over the world. And it's a passion that I have.
Yeah. Are you into bands?
Yes.
Ah, what's your favorite?
My favorite band? Probably of all time, I'd have to say Bob Marley.
Aye.
Just from like depth of work and right. Kind of like songwriting abilities.
Yeah.
No one's even closer. You know?
Nice.
Like there's a variety that would be in my top 10 and Fat Freddy Drops, you know, Buena Vista Social Club, Epic. You know, I love jazz. So the South African jazz specifically, I'm quite obsessed with. Mm. Where everyone's seen it wrong with music is that they see you don't go there for the band. You go there for the culture.
Is it?
Yeah. Because you don't realize that, because actually often what it does, it's a very powerful tool to filter through life and bring you amongst like-minded people. You know, so like it's very powerful in that way.
It's a different way of looking at it. So I don't go there because Bob Marley is playing or because my favorite band is playing. I go there for the vibe.
I mean, I'm simplifying it to make a point. You know, but like if you're going there for the music, it's obviously much better quality to listen to it on the album.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
The second thing is when you watch live music online, and like when COVID started on streams, we watched it from people who were making it who were videographers. And when you go to a live music show, you don't interact with it in the perspective from, you're not sitting, you know, generally like the cameraman and the director wants to get the best shot.
Yeah.
You know, stand in front of the art. But you don't watch live music that way. So to answer your question is, Soda World aims to be a 24-hour music channel. Any time where you put your headset on, there'll be a live show, a live music show, anywhere in the world. So we've kind of pioneered new technology that enables a physical space to be activated virtually in a meaningful way and enable like-minded people from the culture to come around. So if a live music show is happening at Untitled Basement in Bromfontein and it's a certain kind of show, it's not just people in Johannesburg who want to make it. Streams suck. online streams suck. It's like a one-directional thing.
Right.
You know, and for me, I was obsessed in the last few years on how do you make a live show in the real world and bring people around it virtually in a meaningful way.
Mm.
And because we kind of got into the space first, I was thinking creatively, like, if we are ahead of the pack, right, and we have a little bit of a lead, what's the best model that that we could set up that I would consider to be the most, you know, most that I get out of? Okay. And that is like installing the world's best live music venues, electronic music, DJs, with our equipment.
Yes.
You know, selected one that we curate, and then have a worldwide network of these venues. From all time zones.
Right, right.
And then anytime you put go into VR, you can actually go into a venue anywhere in the world. And then the best part about it is that you meet like-minded people.
Yeah, you know? Meet the community that you belong to, essentially.
Exactly.
All right. So if you were to explain to a five-year-old.
Yeah.
I'm 5 years old. I just heard of this thing called VR.
Yeah.
What is VR?
Yeah, so they would, first of all, if you ask that, you're asking so they can explain to you,
gosh,
you know. So,
yeah.
So your question is, as a 5 years old, how would I explain the technology? Because they're already in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's very, very important to say that it's not virtual reality.
Okay.
It's virtual reality is one access point.
Okay.
To it. It's a live experience. Okay. How do you access it? Oh, I can access it in the real world.
Okay.
Or I can access it in a VR.
Right.
Where I'm fully immersed. I can access it on my phone.
Mm.
And something that Soda World, that we pioneered globally, we got the recognition of developing the Pi model.
Okay.
Which is presence, intimacy, and engagement. Those three elements, if you get right, is a person feels engaged and with you.
Right.
To give you an example, right? If someone calls you on your phone, a good friend of yours or a family relative from overseas, and you pick it up, that level of engagement is audio, right? Yeah, you're not that engaged, but you're engaged because...
You're talking to them, you're listening attentively.
Exactly. If you put on the video on the phone and you're looking at each other, are they with you in reality?
Right.
It's a question.
Well, no.
You know?
Yeah.
Are they?
No, they're not with you. They are... somehow visually with you.
But they are with you, because if they were with you, they would be hearing what you're saying, seeing your lips move, and you speaking back
in real time. Right, the feedback is real.
Yes.
Right, but the presence is not necessarily real, because it's not here.
But they are there.
Right, in some form.
They're not, exactly. So you hit the nail on the head. It's not skin and bones,
right,
as we call it. It's another one of your forms.
Mm.
You know, okay. So once you start getting into this world, unfortunately... that all these questions open up about reality.
Mm.
And then reality gets, it shifts.
Right.
Your thoughts to reality once you've participated in this world like I have. And like, do you have kids by any chance?
Yeah, yeah.
How old?
7 and 9.
7 and 9. Pre-Fortnite or Fortnite?
What do you mean pre-Fortnite?
Are they in Fortnite, yes?
You know the game Fortnite?
Oh, no.
No, not yet.
They're not, no, their screen time is like...
minimal.
Right.
Yeah. So like in my kid's 12, from about 10, I had him in Fortnite, because it's incredible. It's not a game. It's a social playground.
Okay.
Where they learn life skills.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it's so interesting because there's 250 million kids.
On that thing?
Yes.
250 million?
Yeah, an economy of $5 billion. You know?
What?
Yeah. So it's like when when I'm saying us, I'm putting myself in like adult terminologies, right?
Right.
It's like we don't see that, so it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So when you ask about this, one has to first recognize that most the generations of our kids are already in virtual worlds. They're not playing a game. They're with other kids. You know, they're buying fashion. They're doing all that kind of stuff.
So it's a social platform for kids.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the exact same as a playground.
Right.
Like a playground that they go play in.
Yeah, like a park.
Yes. They're in avatar format. They're looking at each other. They're speaking to each other. It's a little bit more immersed than if someone's on a video and a phone.
Mm.
It's a different kind of immersion. But when having discussions about this environment, unfortunately, one has to unpack a bit more of what it means. And, you know, because like in my position, often people are like, VR is not here, and it's bullshit. You know, this idea of people being in virtual worlds is like bigger than $5 billion. That's bigger than probably the entire African TV video income. I don't know.
It's crazy. It's been going for a while. Even, you know, 20 years ago, Second Life was a thing.
Yeah,
fairly big audience. Very much a very big audience, its own economy. And that's what disrupted that was the mobile phone. But before we get distracted with that, I mean, we were speaking about Fortnite. We've seen performances in Fortnite. I think, who was it? Travis Scott, who did a really big event there a couple years back. Huge event.
Yeah.
Different than the way you're approaching it.
Yes.
It's in Fortnite. It's not a stream.
Pre-recorded. Yeah. It's not live.
It's different. But I mean, given the interaction there, I mean, how do you see, you know, the future of immersive events in this space? Mm-hmm. I mean, how you position Soda World to be in this kind of space?
Yeah.
The way you're speaking, you're expecting it to expand, at least from an access point or people, become more familiar to people. How are you kind of positioning yourself to be more, to capitalize on that?
Yeah, like right now, I think I was saying it in the other interview, is that like we kind of like flying under the shadow of negative perceptions that ended yesterday with the new Meta launch, because that's now changed. You know, we knew this was coming.
What was the Meta launch?
The Meta launched the new headset that's coming in at $300.
Okay.
And the sophistication in it is very, very impressive.
Mm.
And one has to not look at it as virtual reality.
Okay.
I guess Apple was in the right direction by calling it spatial, meaning it's, you know, when you have the Apple Vision Pro, it's based on your space.
Mm.
So you have this on, but you're actually seeing the space around you. And if all of those people who've watched like futuristic Tom Cruise movies, when there's a visor on your glasses, that is an unarguable benefit to humanity when we get to the level where the glasses that you're wearing now have got a screen in there. So, for example, you're driving and a message comes up that only you can see, you know, from your partner, your child, it goes this, you're in a meeting, you know, or you're going somewhere and it starts giving you directions. So having that extra ability of layer is what a lot of us in technology are waiting for.
Damn, and that's gonna
segment AR, interesting. Augmented reality.
Students are gonna cheat tests, man. I mean, I'm sitting in an exam.
Our tests are gonna change forever. I mean, the thing is, since February this month, the world's changed, but no one's seen it yet.
How do you mean it changed?
Everything that we knew previously.
Yeah.
I'm philosophical.
Yeah, we don't want to go down the rabbit hole.
No, yeah. I'm interested in how the world, I'm in this world, and I even pick
maybe
up the trend.
Maybe describe what you mean by that, but then
kind
of go back to the sort of world.
It's kind of like, what is our reality here, you know, in South Africa? I'll avoid that. Let's just look at it from an industry perspective.
Okay.
All right.
I like how you want to just move past our reality as a country. Is it that bad?
No, quite the opposite. Yeah, quite the opposite.
Okay, that's a fresh take.
Yeah. But it's like what's happened now with AI and clouds, cloud computing, AI and graphics cards, is changing everything how we know it. Okay. So before, how you would perceive reality is through DSTV, right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember Open Time and South African TV? It was like free satellite TV, you know, over a period of time. And we had our print magazines before the internet came.
Yeah.
And our reality was based on the media that was providing it, the church, the school, the government curriculum, right? All of that is how we educated and created things.
Right.
In the game of media that I'm from, entertainment creation, this camera, this editing, mixing the cameras, all of that is obsolete with technology that's already available that no one actually knows that it's there already.
Mm.
Okay? So like from like just taking this and transcribing and adding many layers of intelligence to prompt-based video creation. You know, I'm busy with it now from the festival that we just did. Is most of the time now I'm going to AI to create the videos that I'm looking for.
Mm.
I just take a photograph and it creates a video from that. The amount of intelligence that you and I can, in the old days, if you were professors, because you went to university and you got that knowledge and that gave you value. AI has all that knowledge now in real time.
Yeah.
You know, my kid, when you remove this idea that of school and you say they got all the information at their fingertips at any time, how do we change?
Right.
And when you're talking about automated...
This is a February thing.
February, the intelligence changed to a point where we're like, okay, it's here.
Okay.
And its ability to think and hold information and bring it back to us. So for example, like I had a problem with some of my equipment getting wet, my computer equipment.
Right.
I hate admin. I hate insurance. I'm not a kind of person who's good at those kind of things. And now every time I've got to look at the policy and you've got to call the broker, I just take this 20-page document, I give it to AI, and in less than 3 minutes, it dissects what a high-level profile consultant would give me.
I understand. AI can scale intelligence in ways that we can't comprehend as human beings. But I'm just wondering, that's a thing that happened this year, Fab?
Yeah,
I would imagine that was... AI could do that last year.
No, there was a certain progression that came in with image creation, video creation, and memory.
Ah.
So those three things were the big change.
Okay.
But this last 2 weeks, as the Rotor Amapiano Festival was going to mark this change as a way to wake South Africans up to what's coming. And that's, but it's the intelligence level that's come now with video.
Right.
The progression of further intelligence from ChatGPT and things like Claude and its ability to be everywhere that we are, okay, is so transformative that none of us wake up because that's our minds are not adjusted to it. We don't have a clue. But entire industries are disrupted forever.
Okay.
The ideas of jobs, currencies, everything on a grand scale. And again, these are why in a short period of time I'll avoid going deeper into it. But one really has to understand.
But I mean, this leads into the point, though, is to, like, how are you now approaching this from Soda World's perspective? What's your viewpoint over the next couple of years, knowing these developments in the industry?
Yeah.
The further enablement of immersive events, what does that look like for you, and how are you positioning yourself? I mean, you're already there. You've been testing it for years now. You've been doing events. You've got, you know, followings around the world already. You've got, you know, even when I was at the Rota Amapiano a couple of weeks back, around me when I was in VR, I heard French, I heard German, I heard Japanese from the avatars around me. So, you know, you've got this global thing. People are pitching up and watching these events, that's only really set to continue and evolve further and be easy to access. The access points are much easier. Are we looking at kind of like a real global culture here?
That's the point. We're trying to set up a global community that's based around in real-time live events as a channel. And then so that's what we're looking to do, is like how MTV was, if you think about when satellite TV came. MTV just started showing videos on TV, you know, and that's how they became like a global culture brand. So that's what we're looking to. We've got like presenters, we've got a team here, performers, programmers, like all kind of people. And the idea is like a virtual channel. You don't have to have VR to log into it.
Yeah.
And presenters and that whole shebang. But there's a much more important aspect here, and that is like the social work that we involved in is... It's a dual purpose organization. So at the same time, we building, I don't like the word social development so much, but we're working with the Arts and Culture Trust to roll out educational programs.
Interesting.
In the hoods, there's a huge, the Road to Amapiano was about signifying how Amapiano, out of the 30 years of democracy in South Africa, that came from poverty, the hoods. That's suddenly something so big that's taken over the world. Talia, Taylor, always say Talia. obviously, the whole piano movement is enormously influential, but it came from the hoods.
Right.
The mainstream media didn't even want to know about it initially.
Yeah.
And it's opened up a whole new economy, a whole new world. And what's a disadvantage? Because the kids in the townships, one has to recognize, and this is what I was saying to you, where I feel it's important to speak about this stuff, because... After the end of apartheid, there was another form of oppression that came through communication. The internet was starting. You're a kid in Vosloorus. Your parents have come from like deep Zululand. They don't speak great English. You haven't been brought up in a commerce environment, but you got a sharp brain for, let's say, programming or animation. And because prior to this new world that's come, before Web 1 and Web 2, all this information in the world, and you don't have access to it, neither the devices nor all the information. And that's a crime against humanities, you know? And, that's why in this new world, generative AI and AI is going to become a dime a dozen.
And it doesn't even take that much to use the technology.
Like water,
I mean, you have AI in WhatsApp. How easy can it get?
Well, this is the thing. So what does it need?
Right.
It needs more humanity, and that's a conclusion that we came to.
Yeah.
So when you look at something like Amapiano, it's taken over the world, but it's not just the songs and the music, it's also the dance, it's the
Yeah.
fashion. And there's an enormous economy around it. We want to make people aware of that value. We're actually not valuing ourselves
Cool.
properly. So,
So, yeah, tell me, immersive events, are we talking VR and AR, or are we talking just VR? And please, again,
all of them.
what is the difference
Yeah.
in the events that you do? How do I know at this point this is VR? How do I know at this point this is AR?
Hopefully soon you won't. And I don't really know if it matters, right?
Okay.
But for the sake of like you haven't spent time in it,
Yeah.
In terms of what we're doing, because you have like Travis Scott and Fortnite, where that's a concert where kids watch,
Okay.
but everyone who's watching is watching the same thing
Okay.
in a thousand different worlds, you know? You can watch a live stream where it's a live concert of, let's say, your favorite, Ultra in Los Angeles. You can now watch it on YouTube. So in terms of what we do specifically and what we've pioneered is taking a physical space, and that we recognize that physical space has a spirit.
Oh.
You know, like Orbit, a stage, these clubs are legendary. It's not only about this performance of this artist, it's a performance of this artist at that venue. Do you know what I mean? Like you go back in time to all these legendary venues, like in the US, for example, like the
Yeah.
Trumbador and the Roxy's, all
MSG.
MSG, brother, exactly. There's so much.
Right.
So once we recognize that the venue has a soul, and we recreate that feeling of joining that virtually, and we've built technology that enables you to log in either through your phone or virtual reality
Okay.
in a way that's more immersed than how people have done it previously.
Right.
You're more connected to it than how people would have done it previously.
Right.
If you're in virtual reality, it's almost like being at the real event in our events. And in my head, that's what we're aiming for. So in my head, what like Scott's seeing is not what I'm seeing in my head. I'm seeing where we're taking it to, and each event we do is one step closer to that realization. So if you have a virtual reality headset, which I'm sure in the next 2 years you will, almost guarantee it, because the value proposition for it is too high for you not to get it at the right price, then you will put it on, and now you're going to come to one of our events, and you're going to look around just like this room, and you're like, wow, I'm in this venue. You're going to look each other in the eye. Your avatar, because this is your avatar. If it wasn't your avatar, you would be dressed in a robe. You could be however you're dressed like this on purpose. You're giving a message. His hair could be long and freaking beard everywhere and like sitting here, like this, but he chooses not to
With
because
all that gray hair.
you know what I'm saying? Silver, bro, silver.
Oh, it's silver.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a silver fox. All right.
So it's kind of like
So at what point does it do you get into AR?
AI,
Yeah, it's hard to it's different.
yeah
But
well
before we move on to that question,
yeah
though,
yeah
if you, does it comment in terms of what you're describing right now? And I think you're describing it quite well in terms of what your events look like. So one aspect I really enjoy about your events is that, yes, there's a live show on stage. People can go to the live event. They can watch the live stream. They can go to your space in VR, and they can watch the same live event. What's really nice about that is in the if you're in VR, you can see the live event. You can see the people there. But the nice part, the way you set it up, is people at the live event can see in VR. So if you're in VR, they can actually see you there on the screen that you set up.
Yeah.
And then you can do shout-outs. You see your little tag name on top of your head. They can do shout-outs. So if I pitch up on the dance floor, you know, K-Man would be, you know, what's up, Scoster 66? Yeah. You know, that's a really nice engagement space that you can really feel you're at the event, even if you're in another part of the
world. Yeah, we created technology that lets the presenter in the real world see all the people in the VR and online.
Mm-hmm.
And then see them and recognize them just as it is in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really kind of part of our little secret sauce,
right?
As well as letting people at the event put on a VR headset. So like Con Hill, people from Johannesburg would put on their headset and suddenly be with the people from all over the world.
Right.
You know, and it's we have cameras and our own software that we've built. You know, we got an investment from an amazing software dev house in Cape Town, and we've built the first version of what we're calling a mixed reality software, of our community software, and all of that together builds this ecosystem. But I know it doesn't really make sense unless you're in the production world.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like, I guess, it's not easy doing it. It's a team of people.
Yeah. So I think it's a very important point you're raising, because I'm thinking, if I'm a tech entrepreneur and I want to get involved in the space, I need to know what it takes to get in it. I need to know what technologies I need to be familiar with, what coding languages. I mean, like you said, we're going to see a lot of products in the education space around VR and training a lot. I mean, you can imagine how safe the environment becomes if you're training doctors in VR. They're not messing around with real bodies, but they're using real-life simulated things.
Exactly.
If I'm a kid in chemistry, I'm mixing chemicals there and I'm getting the real chemical reactions and stuff. So it creates a safe environment upon which education and training can be done.
Yeah.
But if I want to get in that space, what do I need to know? What software, what technologies do I need do I need to get into building the goggles, or do I just go as the softwares?
Yeah.
What does that value chain look like?
Yeah, it's a good question. I guess you need to know where you're playing first, because it is like real life, and you just made that point. You when you're doing that surgery in the simulation, that is the life that you're in. VR, it's been designed, it's been built, it all exists. Are you an engineer?
Right.
Are you a creative?
Right.
Are you more technical? Are you more business orientated? So first I would identify...
my own skill sets, right?
Yeah, because it's like saying, okay, in life, what advice can I give you to get a job?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Okay, cool. What kind of job are you looking for? Do you want to be a bricklayer? Then I would say, you know, go offer your time for free to someone that you where you want to work, and then they'll offer you a job. You know, if you're selling someone who wants to make avatars, I would say, well, go learn 3D. But to, you know, I know what you're asking. And I teach the stuff.
Okay.
And what I've realized is that, like, anyone can just watch a tutorial on YouTube. And if you don't speak the language, you can just translate it automatically with AI. And I find those who do, they just follow the interests. Follow the YouTube channels.
Right.
Find what you're interested in. And then it's the exact same thing in real life. If you're really ambitious, you go intern, you go learn, you go offer yourself, you go put yourself out there, you know? But then if you're listening to this and you're from South Africa, I would go to local meetups.
Okay.
Saw your earlier guest was Eduardo from Fakugezi.
Yeah.
You know, Fakugezi has a center which lets you get closer to this. I work closely with the Arts and Culture Trust. We offer training in virtual reality, AI, and all of that together. So if you go to Arts and Culture Trust and tap into that, there's the We Are VR groups. There's all these different WhatsApp groups nowadays and communities. Join a community.
Yeah.
Meet other people and see if that's your vibe. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%. Go on. Do you want to answer about the AR?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a bit technical to get into it now. It's not that technical.
I think it's quite easy.
Head, I'm just trying to figure out. So I'm in a VR space. At what point do I bounce in between the two worlds, VR and AR, or do I stick in AR?
No, you're in a different. It's a different play altogether, really. VR is a more of
what's the difference
VR
between
is like
virtual
an immersed space.
Right.
AR would be like if we're in this room, for example, and you got some glasses on, and then there's information that pops up in front of you that's related.
Wait, but you both need glasses for those technologies.
Well, you need something. You need your phone, glasses, something like that.
Yeah.
You need some sort of intermediate device to actually lay the information on top of the space.
Which is fully immersed, AR or VR?
VR.
So but AR both, is partially missed.
They're part of the same thing. By the way, I wouldn't touch the microphone stands because they end up making sounds. Yeah,
that's true.
Just from having a studio, I know these things.
This is a bit of feedback.
It's a technical man here.
Yeah. To answer your question, is AR as you knew it until now?
Yeah.
It was just technology in the making. It had no real purpose, right?
Okay.
Because what it was is like your phone recognizing a surface. And then overlaying an image in it, okay? But all of us tech enthusiasts, it's when it's on the glasses. And then it augments in your real space.
Right.
Where it shows you direct, like I was saying to you, when it offers you a real life purpose. Augmented reality means that it recognizes where you're looking. It recognizes where you're going and it overlays that environment. So you use the example of surgery.
Right.
With the Apple Vision Pro, it's both fully immersive and AR, as you call augmented reality, which is now called spatial.
Okay.
So, like, yes, there's a whole industry of AR and filters and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but all the techies, are we all waiting for it when it's on your visor of your car?
Okay.
And it's like recognizing the cars around you.
Right.
When it's on your glasses, when it's on the devices. So that's when it really kicks in. And so far, I like the word spatial.
Okay.
Because it reacts to where you're at.
Okay.
But I think, those terminologies will change, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. No, I get it.
I think let's kind of bring to like almost a practical space. I mean, I think when we spoke last, you were talking about the entrepreneurial space in South Africa in this context.
Yes.
Not being necessarily as dynamic as it could be.
Yes.
You know, particularly in the VR and immersive technologies and even in the event space.
Yeah.
What do you think needs? What do we need still in terms of to create like a more collaborative or space to enable more development here?
Yeah, we need. This is. I love these questions and I love speaking about these things because my career started off with being an entrepreneur from an early stage. I learned web design, had a job as a web designer, and then I started JHB Live. It grew into quite a big thing. Then I started an agency, a tech agency, for many years. So I've been through building products and learning the whole ecosystem. Recently, when I started Soda World in COVID, and I went deep into the space, when starting Soda Studio, see, we naturally attracted to our studio in downtown talent. From a lot of them from the townships. We're seeing what we're doing. They're like, we want to be part of this. We want to learn, right? So we started doing this, and then as I'm getting more into this world, we start doing NPOs, NGOs, meeting. I never knew this industry. And here are all these people getting paid to solve all these problems of innovation and, you know, like culture, value, training, all of this kind of stuff. So I start going into it, you know, and like just for example, I was asked to go to the Methodist Church and to a school in town and see how these technologies can be used there. And then I really had this aha moment. I'm like, damn. These kids have got such bad education here because of the affordability factor versus my kid, let's say, at a private school, you know? And I'm like, they don't even need that. If they just had a little bit more access, this will be revolutionary for them. And also, like, most of these kids don't have to go to universities anymore to learn this stuff. Music production, video editing. You living in the townships, and you have the skills, you have the will, but you don't have the access, right? So I came out of corporate. I had the agency and I left it because I hated it so much. You see, corporates become so data-driven and so like divisions that it's all about kind of like the division and the people who don't really know what they're doing, but they're in charge of those things. And as a creative, I went in there and that's how I made my living. I'll do campaigns, I'll build tech. But it was soul-destroying because you kind of always got to play the game versus like what is actually functional and works, you know? At the end of my era as an agency, it's like everyone's spending money on social media, but everyone can buy social media.
Yeah.
And everyone's getting so much of it. Like you see like reaction, it's all nonsense. The whole industry has become like almost like the emperor has no clothes in a sense of functionality and and actually to create stuff. Like, why is so much money going on all this stuff where it could be going to the culture? Everyone wants to hop onto the culture and take parts of it, but how do you create culture, right? So, to cut a long story short, like, all these organizations and all these hubs generally access to people who already had access. And in the South African context, the problem solving in the tech community and entrepreneurship is not going to come from the suburbs.
Yeah.
It's going to come from where the problems want solutions.
Right.
But in those points, I'm seeing all this money being spent on hubs here and hubs there and all this kind of stuff, but none of it's actually getting done where it's supposed to. And then as I go deeper into it and you see all these organizations and these NPOs, and I want to first say I have a lot of friends and people in the space and they're all good people doing great work.
Yeah.
But the system itself is the problem because they all get salaries. But when I look at where we were in the Soda Studio, like asking for help from all this thing, and it's too like red tape, this, you got to know this person,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. By the time you even get there, you know, where are we? You know, so... I feel there needs to be the entrepreneurship in South Africa. There's also this kind of in the marketing world and in South Africa, it's a very kind of private school mentality.
Okay.
If you've gone to these schools, you get these jobs, and it's just like matric hierarchy in the corporate world that exists in all frontiers here. But you know, as you know, we had I was invited to this program at MIT in January, and at that point, something flipped in my head because. This is a center of innovation. When you just see, if you have a good idea, they want you in there. They don't care. Like, move aside. They don't ask you for degrees or whatever. And it's just about, like, how do you bring this idea? How do we keep it in America?
Yeah.
You know, how do we build it here? How do we help you get there?
Right.
And here, it's almost like the opposite of that from all these conditions that I've been describing. And what again, is happening is what I call a crime against humanities. Because if you bring this information to the hoods, if you bring accelerators to the hoods, if you bring systems in there, you can uplift the whole country.
Right.
But we don't. It's all like connected to universities and NPOs and NGOs. A lot of them are funded by foreign companies. And why do you think they are funded? And again, these guys are doing beautiful work because they are using their money,
right?
You know, not just for like as politicians from these different European countries to bribe our guys, but also to use it for cultural programs and things like that.
Right.
But you got to ask yourself, what is the intention of that? It's the only fund that we have in that space often is from these spaces. But what is the purpose of it, right?
Right.
Often it's because they want those companies to be registered in their countries to create commerce there.
Right.
You know, so you have to question all this stuff. So just to finish the thought process, yeah. As an entrepreneur, the odds are against you and the system that's been set up to facilitate and help is not where it needs to be, you know, and you'll be surprised how switched on these kids are.
Right, right.
You know.
So tell me, if I'm a piano artist, right? I'm in Soweto, I'm struggling to get events.
Yes.
Maybe I don't have a good agent, whatever the case might be, but I've got good music, I can perform, I can create a stage in my house, and how can I use VR to put myself out there? How cheap or how affordable is it for me to use VR to get out there, to get events, to get people booking in, and how do I empower myself with this technology?
That's a great question, and like for me, that is where the future is going to be, because if you connect it to the culture,
right,
that's what people want to feel,
right.
So that's very powerful. So first thing is the same as any performer, you've got to need to know how to perform,
right,
and
right,
recognize right. that what you're doing is performance. And then in order to do it from home, you've got to realize that it has to be a certain production value. So you have to invest into microphones, nice cameras. You have to learn the softwares to mix the visuals. And then you can just use websites like Fiverr right now to get someone to maybe help build you an avatar.
Yeah.
To help build your virtual world. And then you have to do some work, right? Okay. So I'd say it's like 3 weeks of work.
Right.
Of understanding the environments. You got to participate in the culture. It's like if you're a new DJ and you're good, you're going to have to go play somewhere. And you have to get into a community. So that same thing is almost the same as virtual.
Okay.
Go hang out in the VR platforms. Go to other people's parties. Start making friends there, right?
That's interesting. So if I'm an entrepreneur, I can create a studio upon which these guys can come and perform, and then we create a world for people to join into this performance.
Yeah, exactly.
So that every other artist doesn't have to create their own studio where they can come and perform. They can go to Soweto and build one Soweto platform where guys can come in, or any other Gassi in the country, where guys can come and perform, and we just broadcast that on
exactly. That's, chat. Yeah, that's exactly part of the program that we're running with Arts and Culture Trust.
So
we're launching our first one of these, we're calling them like smart stages in Germiston.
Okay.
So we've got funding from DSAC, one of the government organizations, and then we're also rolling out courses in all elements. And then exactly what you're talking about is, I think, will have a huge transformation in South Africa.
Right.
But not only that, like every virtual event now needs a host. Right. It needs actual humans,
but to be
in VR or on the computers.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, that event is not local, right?
It's not local, but think about like South African, we have English, right? You don't even need languages anymore because they auto-translate things anyway.
Right.
But what we do have, that's what we're, it's something that I really like. How do you turn a disadvantage into an advantage?
Yeah.
So if you're sitting in Vosloorus and it's, you know, you can't say it's nicer to have a Vosloorus little dwelling where like eight people are staying on the same property.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the reality of that is the cost of living is really low.
Yeah.
So when you're looking like, when people are doing conferences and they're looking for hosts, they're looking for virtual dancers. There's an entire ecosystem, entire economy that's coming.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is inspire it to start here.
Okay.
So if we start training kids up, if you're sitting, like the fees on a low basis to like do hosting for a day is, I think, 100 euros.
Right.
Where if you're living in Europe, it's not a lot of money at all. But here, it's what, 2,000 rands. Mm. If you're living in the Kasi in Vosloorus and you're getting paid 2,000 rands to host an event for the day, it's not bad money. It's probably like more than your rent is for the month.
Event organizers will take this technology up, right?
Yeah.
Create events, sell tickets, cultural events, sell those to international customers.
Exactly.
And suddenly you get people in KZN doing their traditional stuff and people in Europe joining in and watching.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, are we building one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's convince Simulong to have one VR studio.
It's on the radar.
Yeah. First, you have to get through all the politics. Eh?
Exactly.
Oh, but we've got Mick here. He can set a studio for us.
Definitely. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today.
Good Lord. Is it that time already?
The time just swept by.
Damn, man, I was learning so much from Mick.
Yeah. I think we'll have to chat again.
Yeah, this needs a round two.
There's lots of developments going on in your space, and I think it's always going to be valid to have a fresh chat and catch up on
that. Sounds good.
So that was Mike Balkan. Thanks so much for your time. And,
Mr. Balkan.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yeah.